Next case for argument is Dispatch Automation versus Richards. Mr. Young.
May it please the court. This is an appeal from the district court's grant of summary judgment that the defendant, Tony Richards, owns the RIMS 2000 software. The district court, the issue presented here is whether the district court improperly resolved disputed issues of fact and failed to consider extrinsic evidence in its interpretation of the language of the Articles of Incorporation regarding ownership of certain software. Had the district court considered the extrinsic evidence, which it was required to do, it would have found ambiguities which create a question of fact which precludes summary judgment. In 1982...
Is there any evidence in the record about what Richard's contribution was to the RIMS 2000, the new program?
Richards was an employee of the plaintiff, Dispatch Automation, and Richards did do developmental work on RIMS 2000. There was also an outside independent consultant who worked on the development of RIMS 2000 and who was paid about $45,000 during the time of development.
And how? What was the time of development?
It was developed in the period 1997 to 1999, and in that same time
so
period.
So over 2 years.
2 years. Richards himself.
Someone is paid $45,000.
The outside consultant was paid $45,000. Richards, during that time period, was paid almost a quarter of a million.
And was Richards? How much of his time was spent working on this RIMS 2000?
The record doesn't reveal that with clarity, Your Honor.
But, of course, it's entirely possible that he is primarily responsible for this RIMS 2000.
Well, Richard's responsibilities were to for research and development, to develop the product.
So you have a paradox that under your theory, if he makes in his role as the software developer, if he makes a small incremental change, then he owns it. But if he makes a real breakthrough, then he doesn't own it. So doesn't that seem a little...
Well, that is a paradox. It's a question of fact that should have been reserved for trial, Your Honor. It should not have been resolved on summary judgment. The question is,
we do make a big effort to... I mean, the law makes a big effort to resolve resolve contract disputes on the face of the contract. So it makes the litigation process much cheaper, and it gives people who sign contracts much more security because they feel, well, as long as the contract is clear, they're not going to have to face a trial with a lot of self-serving testimony from the other side. So you have a broadly worded contract which seems to reserve all developments to Richards. And to interpret it that he doesn't get the big development, just a little one, is sort of cockeyed. And why isn't that a good reason for us to stick with the language of the contract?
Well, again, it's a disputed issue of fact, but it's also cockeyed for the company. Dispatch Automation invested a lot of money in developing this product over 2 years. They paid a lot of money for it, and they should own it.
They did pay a lot of money for it, but I'll tell you my problem with that part of your argument. Putting to one side the fact that I actually found the language of this Richards attachment pretty straightforward, but they got a valuable product for a license fee of $1 a year. Had they gone out in the outside market to buy a different kind of software product, they undoubtedly would have paid quite a bit more than $1 a year to license that software. So it seems to me, yes, they invested their own money, but in return, they were getting a $1 a year license payment, a bargain payment, functionally free use of it as long as this company is going. So Richards develops it. He translates from the old source code into a more current source code, the program. He fancies it up. He adds some other things with the help of this guy. Why isn't it still fundamentally the RIMS group of computer-aided dispatch and records management software products, which is what the opening sentence of the attachment refers to?
That's the problem, Your Honor. What is the RIMS group? The defendant, Richards, admits that there are many products that were sold under the name the RIMS group that he doesn't own. that belonged to the company. In fact, at the time that they formed the company in 1993, Richards himself said that the company didn't have the rights to the product that was then being marketed under the RIMS trademark, that Ameritech had the right to market their product, and what Dispatch Automation got was something less than the then current version of RIMS. So there's a dispute.
Well, clearly it's all subject to rights of other people, but does this new RIMS 2000, does it do something that's not encompassed by the product definition?
Well, Your Honor, it has 40 additional functions.
But does it do anything that couldn't be described as computer-aided dispatch and records management?
I think the functionality is broadly within the functionality of the other product, but so too is a modern word processor provide the same fundamental functionality as Gutenberg's printing press. They're two very different products.
The analogy here, though, to me was, you know, suppose there had been a clause like this written for the person who developed the Corel WordPerfect software, and we know that they come out with different versions every so often. I guess they're up to 9 or so. I think there would be a revolution in the software business if we didn't recognize later generations as fundamentally the same product, a new and improved version. They always tell you whether that's true or not, subject to debate, but it's seen as the same product. I can think of thousands of software products that, you know, version 1, version 2, version N are out there, and to rule for you, I think, would be a pretty radical thing to do in that light.
But that's a question of fact, Your Honor, and the parties are in agreement. Mr. Richards acknowledges that he doesn't own the rights to new products.
Well,
and where do you draw the line?
Mail management system product, which he said was different enough from RIMS. And so I actually thought that meant he was being pretty reasonable. He wasn't trying to say that everything was sort of swept into RIMS, you know, something that starts your coffee machine in the morning and something that, you know, whatever. He was only saying it was these police applications.
But where do you draw that line? I mean, according to Tony
Richards.
That's
not a strength of your case, though, because one of the things that troubles me a lot is that if your view were adopted, these cases would be interminable and indeterminate because you haven't suggested any kind of operable standard for distinguishing between the development of an old product and a new product.
That's the challenge that the language of the Articles of Incorporation leads us with.
How would you draft them?
I would have said that, I mean, if what he meant was everything sold under the RIMS trademark belonged to him, then he should have said that. But
no,
clear,
what he meant was
that.
Everything that falls into the product definition of computer-aided dispatch and records management. So what should he have said?
That wasn't what he said in the Articles of Incorporation.
No, that's what it does say.
Well,
am I misreading it?
Beg to differ. I think there's certainly an intrinsic ambiguity. He says that the corporation may continue to develop the product. What is the product? Is it RIMS? Is it the RIMS group of computer-aided dispatch and records management software products?
The contract is pretty clear that the corporation may continue to develop the products within this category, the RIMS group of computer-aided dispatch and records management software products, but he owns all of the subsequent generations of these products. So that the real definitional issue isn't what development means, it's what computer-aided dispatch and records management software products mean.
Well, I would disagree with you, Your Honor, because it says the RIMS group of computer-aided, and he's acknowledged that he doesn't own all the rights to everything that was in the RIMS group.
Of computer-aided dispatch and records management. That's the definition, not the RIMS group. It's limited to that particular subset of RIMS products. Dispatch and records management.
But the products that were sold by the corporation were a good bit broader than that, and there were many others.
Yes, but he doesn't have rights if it's broader than that. All he's claiming is if it's a dispatch and records management product, that's what RIMS 2000 is, then he owns it.
But he claims to own the rights to the RIMS mobile computer systems, to the RIMS office field reporting software.
Well, let's
to
just
the
talk
RIMS
about RIMS 2000. Is RIMS 2000 a dispatch and records management product?
It is.
Then I don't see what the ambiguity is.
The ambiguity is that it is a fundamentally different
What's
product.
What's fundamentally different about
it's
it?
It's four times bigger. It's written in a different language. It uses a different database.
I don't see written in a different language as having any significance whatsoever.
If we took Judge Posner's latest book, whatever that may be, and we translated it into Italian, is that a different book?
That would be a derivative work.
It's still his book, even though it's in Italian.
And he has the right to prevent other people from creating translations of his work. But here, Richards himself said that RIMS 2000 was a completely different product underneath, a 100% rewrite.
Why doesn't that mean it's exactly the same above? On the surface, if you're a dummy like me and you sit there, and you struggle through DOS programs and then somebody gives you a word processing thing you can use on Windows and you say, hooray, I can still do the same things, but it's easier. It's the same above. I can still write documents.
Do you use Windows?
I do use Windows.
Which Windows?
Windows NT, I think. My preference is Macintosh. But
do you use Windows NT?
Right.
Most of us moved from Windows 98 to Windows Professional 2000. Now, Windows Professional 2000 is based on NT. NT has completely different code from Windows 98. Completely different. But to the user, the only difference you notice if you move from 98 to 2000 is that it crashes less frequently. So the internal, churning of the code really has very little user significance.
Well, I think that the dispatch automation communicated that this was a different product when they called it by a different name, RIMS 2000. I think the indication
well,
is
but
that
they use RIMS, of course, to insist on or to suggest continuity. What is the situation like? When did this company start?
1993.
Okay. Suppose that between 93 and 2002, there are 9 different generations of RIMS, and each differs slightly from the one before. But if you compare number 9 with number 1, there's an immense difference in capability and speed and size and functionality, all that stuff. Would you argue that because RIMS 2000 was so different from, RIMS 1992 or something, that it was a new product, even though it differed only slightly from RIMS 1999?
I think there's a question of fact as to what was meant. I think ultimately at the end of the day, that after consideration of the extrinsic evidence, that it's likely that the final incremental version is the same as the original one, but there's a question of fact there that needs to be determined.
You think the proper comparison is not between RIMS 2000, its immediate predecessor, but between RIMS 2000 and the original?
Either way, it's a fundamentally different. Whether you compare it against.
But just as a matter of analysis, do you compare it with its immediate predecessor or with its.
I think compare it to the immediate predecessor. That's what the company did. That's what Richards did when he said it's a fundamentally different product underneath. The problem here is what is the meaning of RIMS? It's been used to mean a multitude of different things. Some of them Richards acknowledges he doesn't own. Some of them, the parties agree that he does own. And so that's the question of fact. This court's prior authority in Rosetto and in Grace make clear that those extrinsic ambiguities dictate that the matter be determined by the trier of fact and are inappropriate for summary judgment. Summary judgment should not have been granted here, and we would ask that the district court judgment be reversed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Young. Mr. Cease?
May it please the court. Anthony B. Richards owns the copyright to RIMS 2000 because there's neither an intrinsic nor an extrinsic ambiguity in the attachment to the Articles of Incorporation. The language that's at issue here states that the corporation may continue to develop the product, but all ownership rights, all, will remain with Anthony B. Richards. And the undisputed facts of this case illustrates that RIMS 2000 is merely the most recent version of RIMS.
Now, is Dispatch Automation entitled to license RIMS 2000, or has the company broken up, or what?
The corporation, Dispatch Automation Incorporated, is not entitled to a license to RIMS 2000. Anthony B. Richards terminated the license, I want to say approximately 2 months after the district court's decision granting him authority to do so. However, the corporation hasn't exactly broken up. The Richards did make a claim for judicial dissolution that was dismissed, that summary judgment was granted.
Well, was there a time when RIMS 2000 went on the market and was being sold by the corporation?
Yes.
So there was some period in which the corporation had license revenues from this before this termination.
Yes.
How long was that?
That was, I want to say, about a year and a half. I believe the first time that the RIMS 2000 product was sold was in mid-1999. And that the lawsuit at issue here was brought, I believe, in May of 2000. But getting back to the language and the attachment to the Articles of Incorporation, there's only one reasonable way in which to interpret the language, and that is, of course, RIMS 2000 is a development of the product that Anthony B. Richards brought to DAI in 1993, and the developments that were made to the product after it was brought to the corporation. And in fact, the record shows that this was not the first translation of the RIMS product.
Can I ask you if this is the RIMS group of computer-aided dispatch and records management software? Those are pretty general words. Has this software been sold to hospitals, or has it been sold to taxi companies, or has it been sold to other people who might have dispatch and record? I mean, everybody has records management issues. Dispatch might describe some businesses more than others, but those are a couple that come to my mind. Or is there something implicit in this term that suggests police departments and fire departments?
Well, it is in the Articles of Incorporation that the purpose of this corporation was to market and develop this software, and I think the record is clear that the only agencies to which it has been marketed are police agencies and fire stations.
But you don't think there's anything in this? If Mr. Richards had, using solely the resources of DAI, had developed a new product that was for taxi companies, would that have fallen under the, and he called it RIMS Taxi or something, would that have fallen under this clause in your view?
No, it wouldn't, Your Honor. And in fact, the Richards have never taken the position that original creations of Dispatch Automation are affected and are covered by the attachment to the Articles of Incorporation.
Now, but what if you just, following up on Judge Wood's question, what if you just had to make some relatively minor modifications in the existing system to make it adaptable for taxi use? Now, maybe that's infeasible, but suppose that were possible.
Sure, and perhaps I misunderstood the question. If there was a development of the RIMS product that allowed it to be marketed to the specific technical aspect of the taxi industry versus the police or fire station industry, then yes, it would be a development of the RIMS product. But when you have an entirely original creation, such as jail management systems, that is not based on or copied from, it is not translated from the original RIMS product that was brought to to DAI in 1993, then if it's outside of that, it's not covered by the attachment. And if it's a development, the language is clear, and it doesn't have to be made more complicated by references to marketing materials that, of course, like all marketing materials, are going to involve some level of puffing.
Doesn't It sounds to me, though, that underlying this, there could be cases, whether this is one or not, is an issue, where there are significant factual questions. Because if 20% of the old rims carried over to taxi applications, maybe it's new enough that it shouldn't be under this clause. On the other hand, if it's minor modifications that turn out to be necessary, given the different needs of that industry, maybe it is. Do you need to actually compare how much fundamental source code and I suppose, you know, the whole array of things that make up a computer software program, how much carries over and how much doesn't, how much is translated, how much is brand new?
It's our position that you don't have to go into that factual analysis, because so long as the new, quote unquote, new product is a development of RIMS, and of the updated versions that were developed subsequent to 1993, then it is still covered by the language in the
No matter how trivial the RIMS part of the new product is? I mean, I understand your argument about translation here. You're essentially saying it had to be translated so it could stay current on computers, and while they're at it, as usual, you know, they add functionality of various kinds. But I'm trying to think whether there could be cases where it isn't just a pure translation. It's a real extension, and maybe it's partly useful and partly not useful. Maybe they marry together two different programs. Who knows? But surely there are factual issues at some point.
Well, I think that at some point there may be factual issues, but those factual issues aren't involved in this case. I mean, so long as a product, a work, was copied from RIMS or copied from any other original creation, it would not be just that, an original creation. It would have to be a derivative work in at least some respect. In our position on the attachment to the Articles of Incorporation, that it covers all derivative works of RIMS.
Each one of these was separately copyrighted?
It was not. The copyright was registered in 1989, but the fact of registration of a copyright does not affect ownership of the copyright. The copyright law vests ownership of the copyright in a work irrespective of whether or not it is registered. The fact of registration simply allows a plaintiff or a party to bring a claim for infringement.
But the new versions, the RIMS 2000, hasn't been copyrighted?
The new version has not been copyrighted.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think part of it is because there's still a dispute over the ownership of it, but I don't think the record is clear on why it hasn't been copyrighted.
Can you be concrete? What did RIMS... what did RIMS 2000 do that its predecessor didn't? Forget the translation. And I don't know what your opponent means by saying it's larger, where that just means there's more code or what. But what additional functions does it perform?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not sure exactly how concrete I can be, because I'm not sure that the record is exactly concrete on the new functions. But at a basic level, the RIMS 2000 product allows police agencies and fire stations to do the same essential functions of the RIMS product, just faster, and there may be shortcuts between different phases. This was a Windows-based product, so that whereas before in RIMS version 7, it might have taken two clicks of the mouse to get to a certain screen on the computer-aided dispatch, the newer version of RIMS, RIMS version 8 or RIMS version 2000, would allow the user to get to that screen in simply one click. There is evidence in the record that Anthony B. Richards had to write materials to customers explaining that the differences between the two products. So the concept that this was something entirely new or an entirely original creation simply doesn't mesh with the undisputed facts. There's also been mention of the extrinsic evidence that the court ignored. Well, the extrinsic evidence that the appellant is referring to was never before the court, at least in so much as it refers to the web page reference to RIMS 2000 being a 100% rewrite and the other marketing materials of RIMS. The email from Anthony B. Richards was before the court, but again, that's not something that is trying to add and resolve an ambiguity. They are trying to interpret this email to directly contradict and vary the unambiguous language in the attachment to the Articles of Incorporation. They're essentially trying to modify the attachment without ever having pled modification, argued modification, or written about modification throughout the course of this litigation. And because we feel that the language, the corporation may continue to develop the product, and all ownership rights will remain with Anthony B. Richards, is very clear that RIMS 2000 is no more than a development of the earlier versions of RIMS, the district court judgment should be affirmed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Steves. Mr. Young, do you have any comments?
It's precisely the point. The court never looked at the two programs. The court never compared RIMS 2000 against its predecessor, never looked at the functionality. There were 40 more functions in RIMS 2000, but the district court never looked at them. And where you draw the line in terms of the development, how much is enough for a new product? Is it 20%? Is it 50%? Is it 80%? That's a question of fact. That requires trial, and the plaintiffs in this case did not get a trial. The decision should be reversed.
Okay, thank you very much, both parties. Next.